Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Thompson running the floor and a foul.
Now writhing in pain. Steph Curry slamming the ball on the court, so upset.
God damn it!
What is going through your mind when you see Klay go down and obviously in pain?
He's a good teammate. He's a good person. It's not fair.
Canada, the NBA title is yours.
Four. One, two, three, Cancun.
Kawhi, congratulations.
It's like not even a laugh. It's like an outburst. It's like,
We're getting to Kyrie Irving.
Since the Kevin Durant injury, there's been, I guess I'd say, a renewed invigoration within the Celtics organization about maybe convincing Kyrie Irving to stay in Boston.
What was the exit interview like with Kyrie?
It's good.
Right now.
Licked it. That's what it is.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Yeah, lick this.
You know what? I knew you weren't going to get that one. I knew
I saw it, and Friday.
I knew what it said, but the brain just wouldn't let it.
My brain's not working well today.
Why? Are you like 1 foot out the door already? You got an hour. Can you give me a strong hour?
I will. I must tell you though, it's probably because I'm working with you, because I always would give it everything right till the end. I started working with you, and I started noticing.
You're getting tired.
Fridays are tough.
I don't give you a bad vibe. Friday's my day.
Who's not even here today?
Friday's my day.
He's worn out with you.
So that last
a bunch of burger places up in the thing.
Yeah,
here's my best text of the day right here.
Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah. Go ahead.
Christian calls it should be Dunsky. Dunsky.
No, the one I liked was McDonald's. I heard McDonald's has good burgers. Yeah. McDonald's does have good burgers, by the way. I'm just saying they redid their whole burger menu.
Well, they don't
unbelievable.
Fresh now. They don't do them frozen.
No,
or whatever.
McDonald's burgers are.
You can get better. You can do better than McDonald's, right?
I'm telling you. Listen, we're gonna have a burger challenge. I'm gonna get four of the so-called best burger joints near us.
Yeah.
Near us.
And then we'll go to each one of them.
Yes, and we will. And I'm telling you, and then we'll go to McDonald's. And you will get the McDonald's burger, the quarter pounder with cheese. Oi! Good, I'm telling you. What do you want to do? Chocolate shake? I'm just telling you. Father's Day, I feel like I should be able to do whatever I want, just like on Sunday.
Why don't you just take the kids to McDonald's?
If that burger I go there
place
all the time.
Is so great, why
I'm
don't
one of
you
the few older, to... few dads that go to McDonald's still all the time.
Yeah, I'm not.
Just saying, try the new burgers.
Cool dad,
I am the cool dad. You want McNuggets? You got it. What else you want?
By the way, does anybody believe that all of this stuff with Nick Caserio stems from the ring ceremony last Thursday? And by the way, if Jack Easterby, who was the former Patriots chaplain / character coach. He's doing a lot better in Houston right now. He's the executive vice president of team development. But if Jack Easterby, who is the character coach, you remember what he said about the whole Kraft situation?
Wasn't happy
down
with
there.
Him.
Wasn't
He's
happy.
He's a very religious man.
And he kind of used it as a way of exiting out of the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Because he's the chaplain. Right? He's the character coach. And shame on Robert Kraft. Shame. Almost like... So,
a little self-righteous, but okay.
Shame. So why would he show up last Thursday at Robert Kraft's Brookline home if he felt so down with Kraft and his actions down there at Jupiter? They could have sent it to him.
You just kind of forget.
He could have met at a McDonald's and handed it to him in the parking lot.
like a divorced couple exchanging kids.
So why would he go to his house? That's the first thing I have to say. Second of all, do people really believe that
it's a celebration.
Everything transpired on that Thursday night, that we're going to take closed-circuit cameras or whatever of a conversation that Jack Easterby had with Nick Caserio, and that's when it happened, when he said to him, hey, we may have an opening with general manager. Nick, would you be interested? And Nick said, absolutely. You could dab back and tell Billy I am in. And so Jack Easterby goes to picks up one of the Kraft phones and picks it, right? And he makes
he doesn't know it's tapped.
And he doesn't know it's tapped, and he makes a phone call back to Billy O'Brien and says, Nick is in. And the very next day, they go out and fire this Brian Gain, the general manager. on Friday. And people are putting all of that together and saying, that's when it all happened. Well, it turns out that Brian Gaine had a lot more problems dealing in the employment world as a boss out there in Houston. It's come out right now. Discrimination against African Americans. Yeah. We're seeing all of the dirt.
That he was targeting African Americans and firing them.
We're seeing dirt out there left and right on this guy. But the question I have is, why are the Patriots now going out of their way to demand that from the league that they get compensation, they get something from Houston, unless Nick Caserio just doesn't want to be here? Because wouldn't it be easy? It's a good lesson for Mutt. Wouldn't this be a perfect leverage situation for Nick to go back to Bill and say to Bill, yeah, Billy O'Brien really, really wants me.
Here we go. Open in 3, 2, 1.
And here I'm the director of player personnel. There they're going to make me vice president, general manager, president, whatever. They give me a big, huge deal. They give me a lot more money. They give me $3 million a year, five-year deal, $15 million, whatever. Wouldn't it be easy for Bill to sit there and say, I'll give you a bigger title, and I'll give you more money? Instead, Caserio, the way the story is playing out, doesn't it look like he wants to go to Houston?
Well, this isn't the first time the Houston Texans have asked.
No, they did in 2016.
Yeah, but they were in the playoffs.
Just before they hired this guy.
Yeah, and so this would be the Texans' third GM in 5 years. They really need to solidify this. I think this is just one big New England Patriot, old-fashioned New England Patriot shakedown.
How?
Well, all right. Well, okay, so we know Nick wants to leave. We know the Houston Texans want him. Now, you're going to play this little game so Easterby and Nick are talking at a ring ceremony. One, how do you know what they're talking about? They can be talking about their vacations. But fine, you're assuming that based on the timing of everything, of when the old GM was fired, Gaines was fired, and then the Houston Texans asking to speak with Nick Caserio, it all seems kind of fishy. You're trying to steal our guy. We need our guy. We're not going to let him leave. But you recognize and realize that, you know what, Nick's been here a long time, and he wants a little bit more power. He wants a little bit more of the accolades that go with building a team.
Well, he wants to get out of the shadow of Bill Belichick.
Yeah, you want the, hey, listen, I built this team. I'm getting all the credit.
Yeah, and I think they love him. I think Belichick loves him.
No doubt.
I think he is really good. All of these guys that you find, like J.C. Jackson and guys that they find under rocks or whatever, I think a big part of that is Nick Caserio. So I don't think
hold on, Glenn. So if you know he's going to leave, you're not just going to let him walk. You're not just going to let him leave. You're going to shake down the Texans. You're going to either force some sort of compensatory pick, because now the NFL has to investigate. The NFL has to get involved. You said that there's some shenanigans going on. Look into it. All right, so I'm the Texans. I want Nick Caserio. All right, fine. I'll give you a draft pick for him. You're not just going to let Nick Caserio leave.
No, but
Nick Caserio knows this. They've been doing this forever.
Yeah, but that's that's what I'm saying. I think what's happening.
So
out
it's a
there,
shakedown.
Yes, I think you're right, and I think there are Patriot, fanboys out there who actually are sitting there thinking Caserio doesn't want to leave. How does Caserio not want to leave? It would be very simple. If Caserio doesn't want to leave, and this is just a leverage play by him, he gets a better title and he gets more money. My guess is you're right. He's looking at it saying, I've been around here a long time. All right, we've won all these championships. This has been great, been wonderful. But you know what?
Scott Pioli finally left.
Right. I want to be on my own. I want to get my own credit, because every time I do something good, Bill gets all the credit. And, oh, yeah, contrary to what a lot of people were saying a year ago, which I was sitting here screaming about, Bill's not going anywhere. Okay, forget about that old comment about he doesn't want to be around until, who was it? Who was the coach he didn't want to be around?
Levy.
Marv Levy.
Yeah. Right?
Forget about that.
Thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome, Bill. He believed it at the time.
So
now everything has changed. Bill's health is great. He's energized by new teams every year. He loves this. He's not going anywhere. But you tell me, where are the Patriots? If they lose Caserio, Bill's also going to be not only the coach, the general manager, and the defensive coordinator?
Yeah, no, that's too many hats to wear.
Can't do that.
No, and wow. I think he'd wear out. And how about this? So you know the Patriots are going to get something for it. So they say, okay, you're tampering. You're tampering. There's a way to get some sort of pick in all this stuff. They could drop the Chargers. They forget it. We made a mistake. And force the Texans to trade for Nick Caserio. We're going to get something out of this. And I would say if anyone knows how this works, it's Nick Caserio who knows how this works.
Yeah.
So you think that he would allow himself to be talking business at the ring ceremony with everybody watching and looking?
No, but I think the Patriots might use that. And
no, that's exactly what they were talking. Look at every article; they were talking at the ring ceremony.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kraft had closed circuit cameras, very similar to the Orchid Day Spa.
There's microphones in your plates.
Right,
there's microphones everywhere.
And so, if that's the case, maybe they use that against them. But both Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio share the same agent, Bob Lamont. By the way, when he was the team chaplain and the character coach, did he have actually an agent? Do you have an agent if you're the character coach?
Is that an actual job now? Like, I know, a social influencer is now considered a job.
That's correct.
Character coach is now a job.
I read in
Houston. Like, you go to school for that.
Houston, he is actually in on the meetings with personnel that he's got a big job right now. I guess he has a good reputation. I don't know. Do you know the guy? I don't know.
Not personally, but he's been there a lot longer than I thought he was.
Okay, but I've heard he's got a good reputation that people believe, that players believe, that he's the type of guy that can come to them. And when things are not going well, whatever they're dealing with.
It's like a counselor.
Yeah.
It's like a team counselor.
But my understanding is he has a lot more personnel decisions now in Houston, so he's a bigger deal down there. I also keep on hearing that Bill O'Brien really won the war against this Brian Gain, the general manager, and Bill is going to have, O'Brien that is going to have a lot more say in what's going on. If that's the case, is Nick really going to be his guy down there? Is he going to be the guy? Or is he going to be Bill O'Brien's guy the same way he's Bill Belichick's guy?
No, but I think it would be more of a partnership is what I think it would be. And that's what they all are anyways. I mean, there's some GMs that just do what they want and they don't care what the coach says. They don't care. I'm going to build your roster. I just want you to coach them. And I would also say that the other thing that I think that is part of this, and if I'm Nick, Just like Scott Pioli stayed here all those years and finally left to go to Kansas City, and he had opportunity after opportunity after building teams, he finally left because he was getting paid. So Nick Caserio, it's about time you get paid.
It's about money.
The new GM in New York, it's $3 million a year.
Yeah.
And they kept offering. He kept saying no until they got to $3 million. You don't think Nick Caserio has a better track record?
Yeah.
Than most GMs?
Yeah, no, I think he's offered a lot more money. And it certainly wouldn't surprise me if Easterby in some way, or maybe Bob Lamont, the agent, came to him and said, hey, Nick, Houston's going to make a
change
here.
Here's the other thing.
And they're willing to pay a lot more money. You have any interest? And it wouldn't surprise me if he wanted to go. But I'm surprised that I'm reading from people who actually think Caserio doesn't want to go. I think if Caserio didn't want to go, Christian, wouldn't this be over by now?
It would be over.
He gets more money.
I don't want to interview him.
Right. He used it as leverage to get more money out of the New England Patriots and a better job title. I think he's looking at it saying, they can give me whatever job title they want. I'm still Bill's guy. Right?
And isn't this if you're Nick Caserio, and I think Nick has earned the right to interview and talk to other teams, and the Patriots are blocking this and making life miserable for you, but can you go back and do your job? But you had this great opportunity. They've already dissed you one time before because Houston wanted to interview you, but you were in the playoffs. So league rules say that you can't because the Patriots are always in the playoffs. So God, you'll never get an interview with anybody.
Yeah, but did he have any? I don't remember any resentment from him from 2 years ago.
I think it was different
because he flirted with him, right?
Yeah, but now honestly, not that it's 2 years is like a super long time, but listen, the timing's perfect now.
You're going to go to a coach
where you have a great, you're friends with Bill O'Brien. You know him. He's been here forever. So you already know there's a good relationship there. And that's what Bill O'Brien needs based on all the other GMs that he's been through. And you have this character coach, Easterby, who's vouching for you and obviously is going to have a say in, the personnel that you draft.
Right.
Because Easterby, his biggest asset is basically saying, too much of a risk, not a risk. God-fearing guy, yeah, but I don't believe him. Okay, I looked him up. I honestly don't believe the hype.
God-fearing guy, don't believe.
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of guys will come out like, yeah, you know, he's throw the Bible in your face.
He's the chaplain.
They'll throw the Bible in your face, and I think a lot of people look at that and say, oh, he's got to be a good guy. He goes to church every day. He's always at Bible study. Those are usually the nuttiest guys in the mix.
So you're telling me that the team chaplain sees through that?
He's supposed to.
Oh, really?
No, he's supposed to. Right? Aren't you supposed to?
Fake Christian.
A character coach, Wouldn't one of your main responsibilities, or I guess that would be to, you know, a bull crap meter?
I have no idea.
What would Jesus do?
Did our company ever think of bringing in a character coach? Because if we brought him in a couple years ago, it might be more sane around here, right?
Nah, it's never going to happen. No, I'm the character coach. You're good. Everybody passes. Oh, the crazier, the better.
Oh,
no, I think this is going to happen. I think Nick is gone.
I do, too.
I think the tampering thing is just a part of a way to get something for Nick. A fourth round pick, a first round pick. Hey, listen, and I don't know what the penalty would be if the Houston Texans are found guilty, which I have a hard time believing they can prove, because now they all got to give up their phones, they all got to give up their devices, all their emails. They got to prove that they weren't conspiring.
For what? So they give
and tampering.
Fifth, sixth round draft pick, right?
Okay, but still, but you know how the Patriots covet these draft picks?
Yeah.
And then listen, if all we have to do is cause a stink and complain to the NFL, Nick can leave because we know he's going to leave anyways.
Okay, but it tells you that they're pissed down there, right? I would have to assume that Bill's pissed, that he came at a bad time, that he was caught off guard with it. And why wouldn't you be? Everybody had their general manager. All those jobs were
a little
already
late.
Taken.
The draft has already happened.
Exactly.
And it's like the Jets fired their guy.
Right, and you're already working on next year's draft. That's what Nick's working at. My guess is Belichick is pissed about this because he's looking at it. I already have to be the defensive coordinator because I lost that guy. Now I've got to be the GM as well because I think Caserio, that's pretty much what he does. But Caserio wants to be his own guy, and I can't play.
Oh, okay. Do you think that it's more of, I can't let this guy go, I really need him, or...
No.
I'm just going to shake him down and get something for it because I know he's leaving anyways.
Yes. Because I don't think Bill's going to hold him against
hostage.
His wishes. Right.
Can't I feel like that's what it is.
What are you going to get out of that? Are you going to get a productive Nick Caserio?
But they just want to interview him.
Yeah, but they know he's getting the job, right? They know he's getting the
job.
I would say that he's
the front runner.
What other candidates are out there right now at this time of the year?
Yeah.
They're looking at it, and they want him. They screwed up with this last guy. This guy's only been there, a year, year and a half?
Yeah.
He screwed up. They got the wrong guy. And now they're finding out all sorts of stuff that's going on that really makes the organization look ugly. So they're looking at it saying, we got to get the right guy. We're not going to get some temporary guy. We're not going to get, what's the guy's name, Gain. We're not going to get Gain's assistant. Let's go and get a real legit guy in here.
Somebody we
Nick
trust,
Caserio,
we have a history with.
Billy O'Brien's good with him. Everybody's good
And here's the thing with the Houston Texans, okay? They're dealing with this is going to be their third GM in 5 years once they hire a new one. And they won the AFC South. They were 11-5. So it's not like, I mean, they're a crap team.
Well,
they can never really advance in the playoffs, but
that doesn't.
I think with all that stuff going on, they were still able to become 11-5.
So that doesn't piss Bill off right now? Because between now and the start of this season, there are going to be a lot of guys who are overpaid on other teams that are getting cut. Who's been working on all of that for the New England Patriots as they're looking for maybe a backup left tackle? They're looking for players. Nick Caserio's been doing all of that legwork. He's got all of that information. Not that it's not going to be left behind, but the fact is, he's now going to be in competition for those guys because he may be looking for the same thing down in Houston. And he knows what Bill Belichick
and
wants.
And I would say that in the end, you know, there have been guys, there have been, you know, scouts and coaches and, you know, GMs that have left the Patriots, and they try to replicate the Patriots formula in some other city, in some other town. It doesn't work because you're missing two very, very important components. Bill and Tom, those are the components you're missing. And unless you have those guys, it's never going to look the same.
Yeah, I mean, we all understand that.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Tom. That goes without saying. But the fact is that this is a loss. It looks like you're going to lose Nick Caserio. To me, this is a loss. And it's a loss at a bad time of the year where you're not, you know, he'll find somebody else in there. But Belichick's going to have to do head coach, defensive coordinator, and now he's going to have to do even more. I wanted to give you these Bruins injuries, and then we'll get right to the phone calls.
Okay, let me see how many I got right.
You got the Zdeno Chara.
You
were
right.
Multiple fractures in the jaw.
Multiple fractures.
Who wrote that they didn't wire up his mouth? Somebody, one of the beat guys wrote that. Let's chastise him. Let's embarrass him.
I never said it was wired.
There are several plates in his jaw and wired. He was wired in the jaw.
It hurt to talk like this. We heard.
Right, and he was on a liquid diet. Yes. All right, so that was bad.
That's Joe Haggerty.
Was it Joe Haggerty
quote,
that said that?
Zdeno Chara looks great and does not have to have his jaw wired shut.
According to Zdeno Chara, there was wiring in the mouth.
See, somebody get on here for getting it wrong.
You should do that. You should be the police. You should, you know.
I'm done. Right. I don't Dunsky. Nobody trusts me. I'm not doing it anymore.
Kevin Miller suffered a broken kneecap during the final week of the regular season. Had a setback during the Carolina series, head surgery. That's not so good. Brad Marchand said he was dealing with abdominal and groin injuries. Remember when he left the ice in that last game where that second goal was scored? Oh, my groin. Oh.
Ooh, my arm.
My groin. I got to leave. Oh. That apparently is what happened. He also had a sprained hand.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Gee, where'd we hear that one from?
That was from the...
Hockey insider.
The little scrimmage that night. And
yes, thank you very much.
Oh, there's two check marks here for
Christian Fourier, hockey insider.
I mean, I got like all of my hot tips right. Every part of information that I gave you, I got right.
You didn't bring up the Kevin Miller stuff because he wasn't playing.
I didn't ask about Kevin Miller.
Know who he was.
He wasn't impactful.
He said, wasn't he the guy?
We are not asking the right questions to our hockey insider.
Patrice Bergeron. He already told us it was a groin injury in that final night. It will not require surgery, though. Just rest your groin and you'll be fine. All right?
Yeah, rest your groin.
And,
no sex.
Noel Achari, that's Lou's guy, played with a fractured sternum since the Columbus series. That's not good, huh? Fractured sternum.
Man, these injuries are like car wrecks.
Yeah, but I'm sure.
So that's what happens when somebody gets in a car wreck. Yeah, they broke fractured sternum.
Oh,
what? Yeah. How did that happen?
Oh, the bag opened up.
Yeah.
Just you break your nose. But I'm sure St. Louis had a bunch of injuries. Too.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Have we got their list?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they all had injuries. All right, to the phone calls we go. Here's Andrew in Haverhill. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
I want to
talk on the Stanley Cup final. You guys might have talked about this, and I apologize if you did. I like to steer clear of sports radio for the day after a big loss.
I get it.
So, just one day. You have to give me one day after a big loss. I can't do it. But I feel like one of the things people aren't looking at, and the thing I can't stop thinking about, is that this core of this Bruins team, now that they've lost the second Stanley Cup final, is that they've lost two or three Stanley Cup finals. Now I feel like nationwide, nationally, they're looked at as more losers than winners. And that to me is just, it's heartbreaking and it's tough. And when you couple it with the fact that, you know, most of the core of those guys are in their mid 30s and this might be their last kick at the can. And who knows if they'll ever get back, because we know how hard it is to get to a Stanley Cup final. The fact that that might be their legacy and the fact they didn't show up for a game 7 is tough.
Seven guys, Andrew. They have seven guys in their 30s already. Seven. Okay. One in their 40s. And it's a young man's game. You're seeing that now. There are younger kids that are playing in this game and having great success at a young age. So, you're right. They're at the crossroads here.
Yeah, and it's tough. And it's, you know, it reminds me of what we were talking about yesterday about all the people crying. And I thought it was just locally, Glenn. I thought only local guys were crying over the loss of the Bruins' loss. But what it turns out is one of the guy that replaced you, his co-host is Brock Huard, Damon Huard's brother. Now, I played with Brock, and he is the biggest pansy I've ever met in my life.
Backup quarterback.
You can't curse. You can't say anything negative.
Can't
like
curse?
He is the
team chaplain.
He's the word police. Got to be really careful. I don't know if you heard this or not.
No.
But Brock Huard was on his show in Seattle
with Salk,
and Brock admits to almost bawling over this.
And while I knew none of those names over the course of the year and got to know them in these broadcasts of these finals, I'm not going to lie. When they were banging on the wall right there with about 10 seconds to go, and they knew, and everyone knew, and then they come out and celebrate. You talk about and joke about.
When you
about,
see him standing on the bench.
Yes, and you joke about, you cry at everything. I welled up. I'm welling up right now. I don't even know these men.
God.
But just in that moment, and for that community, and for the 30,000 that were in the baseball ballpark, right?
Oh.
And for the 19,000 that were in their own arena.
Oh,
all of those people watching it together in that communal way in a baseball stadium that was empty with no players, but had to watch it on the screen with their brothers and sisters and their family members and their generation. I was just,
God. And it's been a blast.
That is obnoxious.
Don't.
You're right.
It is. Okay, great. Yeah. Obnoxious is the word I'm looking for.
It's obnoxious.
I don't believe you.
No, I don't.
You're
going to
be watching
it
this.
It sounds good, and the
communal brotherhood that exists.
With their, you know, their brothers and sisters and their family members and their generation. I was just,
You know what that is? That is a guy who sits there and says that and says in his head, this is going to sound good. People are going to like me because of what I'm saying. Because I'm getting to them. You know, I'm getting to their pulling on their heartstrings.
Yeah, yeah. And what about
he's
us?
He's so full of.
We're just so full of those names over the course of the year.
Okay, here's what I would say. If he was idiot, please, good luck. If he were saying to me, because I think people would react to this. This Layla Anderson, the 11-year-old girl who's got some rare disease and has been sick. And the Blues flew her to Boston for that last game. And she got the opportunity to get down on the ice and hold the Stanley Cup, and they put it over her head and everything. If you told me that you got a little, your eyes welled up a little bit with that, I'd say, okay, you're a human being.
You can empathize.
Exactly.
That.
Because that is something, you know, you're sitting there going, this poor girl, she's been going through so much. She's inspired by this team. They're inspired by her. Okay, I get it. That's a little teardropper. But this crap that you're, you know, on the other side of the country, 3,000 miles away, and you're sitting there welling up and getting,
I'm welling up right now. I don't even know these men.
You know what? You know what it is? It's us, Glenn. We're not sensitive enough. We didn't learn anything.
I'm sensitive.
We didn't learn anything.
I'm sensitive. I'm good with my sensitivity.
You know, because if we were sensitive, we would have compassion. And we would understand what Brock Huard is going through.
But if he's doing it for the 11-year-old sick girl, you sit there and say, that's good.
That'll move me.
That moved people in Boston. You saw on Twitter, there was nobody that was saying anything negative about that. When the game was over, people were putting pictures or video of her out there, and people were saying, hey, at least one nice thing came out of this thing for us, for Boston fans. This girl, you know, got the thrill of her life. Nobody was saying anything negative. They were saying everything positive. But this asshat is sitting there now getting all, you know.
In that moment, for that community,
do you think
for the 30,000
any
that were in the baseball ballpark, right? And for the 19,000 that were in their own arena. All of those people watching it together in that communal way in a baseball stadium that was empty with no players but had to watch it on the screen with their brothers and sisters and their family members and their generation.
Right.
I was just...
It was just moved.
Don't you get it?
Moved.
There were people in a baseball stadium, but they weren't watching baseball.
There's no baseball going on.
They're watching fish.
They're
watching fish.
You know, the fact is... two Super Bowl victories, and like some guys are criers when they win things like that. I don't know who was crying. Kawhi Leonard was not crying.
Kawhiing?
By the way, Kawhi was not Kawhi.
There was a moment right after they won, because the last minute or two was screwed up. Remember, they were checking the clock, and there was a foul. So it was all messed up. So they finally win the thing, and Kawhi lets out a burst. You know, you can see he's all excited. And then one of the assistant coaches come running over to him or whatever to try to, you know, grab him and hug him. And he goes, no. He pushed him back because he wanted to do the gentlemanly thing. Not like they do with the handshake line in the NHL, but you go around, you hug each one of your opponents in that series. Nice series. Have a nice summer. That's what they do. And he did that, but he stopped. And he became stoic once again.
It does not compute.
No, he's like a robot.
A weird guy. He is.
I like it, though. I do. I love the fact that he's just no emo.
Well, you like it because when he wins like that, it looks great. When he loses, though, you sit there and say he lacks emotion. I guarantee you that the people in San Antonio last year saw that and didn't like it because there was no emotion.
He's a stone-blooded killer. That's what it is.
Yeah, when you win, it's good. When you lose, come on, man. Show me some emotion.
You're safe either way. You know, because I'm not a crier. When it comes to big events, like, I don't cry at weddings. I will get you to cry.
Why don't we put the clock on 90 days? Now we're going to take a lot of vacation. We got to do more than that. Maybe 6 months.
You know, I will get him to cry.
Ooh, I like in the next
this.
6 months.
It'll never happen.
Physical, you got to step on his toes.
It'll happen. It will happen. Trust me, I will get you to cry.
Wait, you got to read something real quick?
What are you worrying
about? How much
time
do we have?
Don't worry about
because
what
I feel like you're going
you
to break.
Just do your job and I'll
okay,
do
so here's the type of guy that I am, right? Okay, so there's a lot of things that go on party-wise, celebration-wise, after, you know, a team wins a championship, right? Parades happen. People take to the streets. They burn things. They break things. They climb light poles. They fall down. They're in Toronto. This was in Toronto, right, Ryan?
Yes.
Okay, it's packed. And somehow a news reporter got a guy who actually, he was polluted, by the way.
Is this the plant guy?
This is the plant guy.
I love this guy.
And I can guarantee you, after you hear how this ends, they're going to be selling these things all over the place.
What's with the plant, man? Where'd you get that?
It's a housewarming gift for Kawhi.
Oh, I see.
He's staying.
Does he know this yet?
I'm waiting. Have you seen him?
I haven't seen him yet. I think he's somewhere in Oakland right now, celebrating his butt off.
Well, when you see him, tell him I got a housewarming gift. Tell him I love him.
I will. What kind of plant is that?
Tell him thank you for the shot.
What kind of plant is that?
It's a plant for Kawhi. It's a Kawhi plant. It's a Kawhi cactus.
Have a good night, man. I like it. Plant guy says it's a coactus. I think he's doing well. I think he's having a good night. Let's just put it that way. Coactus.
We the forest.
It's a new species of plant.
We the forest. Have a good night.
There you go. Plant guy, ladies and gentlemen.
Plant guy.
He was so polluted, he had no idea. It wasn't a cactus.
It's a Kawhi plant.
It was one of those palm trees you buy at Home Depot for like $15.
No, it was a Kawhi plant.
It wasn't. It was a palm tree.
When you see him, tell him I got a housewarming gift. Tell him I love him.
What is it? It's a Kawhi plant.
It's a plant for Kawhi. It's a Kawhi plant. It's a Kawhi cactus.
Have a good night, man.
Kawhi-tus.
They will be selling that. There will be some strand of cacti or whatever, and it'll be called. And then maybe that'll be a reason how they convince them to stay.
What is it?
We the forest.
It's a new species of plant.
We the forest.
Basketball town now. Toronto.
It is. How about that?
Yep. Basketball
I'll throw
town.
Back. That's Kawhi. Really
the basketball mecca is in Toronto.
It's a plant for Kawhi. It's a Kawhi plant.
Okay, they get him to stay.
What do you think that parade's going to be?
They're in it for the next year. It'll be pretty big. Yeah, it was good. I thought it was fun watching some of that stuff last night. I wish they had
showed all the drunk people.
Yeah, I wish they had showed you more of it. Well, we're accustomed to it. How many have we seen back here? We've seen a million of them. How long do we have to wait for
another parade?
Us?
Yeah.
Here?
Well, the Patriots are on the clock.
But the Red Sox.
Actually, no, the Red
Second
Sox are on the
season.
Clock.
Can't they turn around? You don't feel good about that.
Do they throw you a parade if you make the playoffs?
I will guarantee you if we did a poll right now, it would be people would pick the next, even if it's not next year, the next championship parade we have, Duck Boat Parade, will be the New England Patriots.
I'm waiting. Have you seen them?
You know, they were raving. It's a Kawhi plant.
It's a new species of plant. I mean, that's my favorite of all time.
Yeah. See him, tell him I got a housewarming gift. Tell him I love him.
What kind of plant is that?
Tell him thank you for the shot.
What kind of plant is that?
The drunks were fun up in Toronto last night. It was enjoyable. Did they turn over any cars or any
No,
of that
they
stuff?
Don't got to, like, grease up their poles or
They didn't
anything
do any
like
of that,
that
stuff,
like
crazy stuff.
So, Christian, do you like this guy more? Or do you like the guy that ate the horse turd, Philadelphia?
Oh, remember that guy?
No, I like the drunk guy. The drunk guy is just fun. The guy that ate the poop, he's like deranged. He's sick.
What kind of plant is that?
It's a plant for Kawhi.
So I'm not sure either one of those guys.
I'm an arborist.
The Philly guy or the Toronto guy
have
full time jobs.
It's a Kawhi plant. It's a Kawhi cactus.
Have a good night, man. Coactus.
Coactus. They will be selling that. You know what? Google coactus, and I guarantee you somebody is. Do they breed plants? What do you say when you're like, trying to create a new stream of plant?
Plant sex?
Plant sex? Do the plants have sex?
Would they cross-plant them?
Like if you cross like a lab a German Shepherd or, you know.
Well, they've done that to dogs, right? How they get the,
that's what I have. I have a Labradoodle. Yeah. So how do they do that with plants? It's like put them in a room together and play some Barry White?
It's a plant for Kawhi. It's a Kawhi.
That was my runner-up, by the way. Some Barry White for.
Barry White?
Yeah, for romantic song.
Oh, yeah. You can totally screw up that segment.
But it's too cliche-ish, right? Deep voice, too cliche-ish.
Yeah.
No.
Play us out.
I love this song. I do like this song.
Now you're going
to
cry.
This hour of the program is being brought to you by Fine Mass Money Dutch. How am I crying?
You cry when you
cry.
You cry when you're done.
The blues won. I'm out in Seattle, and I could feel it all the way here in Seattle. Oh, God. The blues won. All right, we'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
The Patriots have filed tampering charges against the Texans for their pursuit of Casario. And from what I'm told, this goes back to the ring ceremony last Thursday night. Jack Easterby, who's getting a lot of influence with the Texans organization, used to be with the Patriots. He was present there in New England. Nick Casario was present there in New England. And it sounds like the Patriots want to find out what happened that night and did that affect the Texans firing Brian Gaine and potentially believing they had a shot at Nick Casario. There is a way out of this, Lindsay, that I should mention. Potentially, this could end up with the Texans giving the Patriots a draft pick in exchange for Casario.
Ain't gonna happen. Nope. And I'll tell you why. Wow. There's good news for Patriot fans. The Houston Texans, according to Adam Schefter, are now dropping their pursuit of Nick Casario.
Oh, boy.
Patriots are dropping their tampering charges against the Texans. So the Houston Texans are without a general manager. They have to go find one. But the New England Patriots will retain Nick Casario.
The guy's Dunsky for the season.
maybe you'll get a little extra.
So they scared him off.
Maybe you'll get a better title. Maybe you'll get a few extra dollars. Maybe it was a leverage play.
Did they scare him off?
Apparently they scared him off. He said, "You want Nick Casario? It's going to cost."
Yeah,
and we'll fight this thing to the end.
And they know they're going to fight.
And my guess is they probably had a couple of text messages. They had something, right? Had something.
You think?
Yeah, but I don't understand.
If you're going to have to give up, if you're going to have to give up your phone, if that's part of the deal, then I'm sure there was a lot of texting going on between Nick and Easterby. But if I'm Nick Casario and I know that. Listen, I'm texting from my personal phone, which they won't get.
Ooh,
they would have my business phone.
Burner phone. You got one
right,
of those burner phones.
Hey, call me on my personal number. Here's my personal phone. Don't text me on this line.
Well, what was Nick Casario doing in all of this? Was he using this as a leverage play? Because this would be a good test, a good experiment for Mutt can learn from something like this, right? Casario was doing something because Casario could have ended it very easily and said, no, I don't want to go to Houston.
It's Boomer Esiason joining us.
I'm going to stay right here in New England. I'm fine. I'm good. He obviously wanted something out of it, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, money, recognition, power. I mean, are you kidding me?
So he doesn't get away from Bill, unfortunately for Nick Casario, because I think we've already applauded him a couple times on the show. I think he's very good at what he does, and I hear that he's responsible for an awful lot of this stuff. But when he does something really good, like J.C. Jackson last year, who gets the credit? Bill does. He doesn't get any of the credit. I don't hear a lot of people talking and bringing up his name. As you also know, he's on the field all the time, so he understands the game inside and out, what Bill's doing. He's not just a personnel guy. He's a guy that understands that this guy will fit in to what Belichick's doing right now with what we're doing with these certain plays. He gets all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's a valuable guy to have.
No, of course it is. And, man, I just wonder, like, what if I'm Nick Casario, just how I'm feeling personally. The fact that they came knocking at my door a second time, because the last time they came wasn't in 2016, it was 2018. And the Patriots were in the playoffs, so they couldn't talk to him.
Hello?
And now you get another chance, and they kibosh it, which feels like a technicality.
Well, if you didn't get money out of it.
Because, you know, first of all these, come on. Okay, so when a coach gets hired, you know the first thing he does? So if Matt Patricia, the first thing he does, he starts calling his friends. He talks to these other guys on the roster, on his team, and say, hey, listen, I'm probably going to get a job. Would you go with me? What do you think Josh McDaniels did? Josh McDaniels, before he officially took that Indianapolis Colts job and then bailed out of it, he had to hire staff.
And I'm reading this for the first time. This is the chairman and chief executive officer, Cal McNair, down in Houston, who has just released this. When we started the process to interview Nick Casario for our EVP/GM position, we consulted the league office on numerous occasions, followed the procedures outlined in the league's rules, and believe we were in full compliance. We have now been made aware of certain terms in Nick's contract with the Patriots. Once we were made aware of those contract terms, I informed Mr. Kraft that we would stop pursuing Nick.
Okay, so maybe the cost to acquire Nick was a little bit too high. Listen, you want our guy? He's under contract. We'll let him talk to you, but we have it in writing that anywhere he goes, that team has to give us X, Y, and Z. You have to give us draft picks. You have to give us compensation.
But why would that be a Knicks contract with the Patriots?
Because they want to keep him, and if somebody wants him that badly, it's going to have to cost him. And the fact that if they lose him, they're going to need something to kind of ease the pain.
Okay, I get that, but he's saying that we have now been made aware of certain terms in Knicks' contract with the Patriots. So maybe
what else could that be? They can't leave?
Yes. So maybe.
Period.
Yes. So in other words, they thought maybe since this was a different title, he's not the director of player personnel. We're making him the executive vice president slash GM. Maybe there's language in the contract that Nick has that claims that he is the general manager. He is.
Well, because in the beginning there was a discussion about what his title was. If he was the GM, well, you know, you can't talk. If he's just player personnel, well, yeah, because he has a lower title. He has less power. Maybe that's it, too.
Yeah.
Maybe they define his job as something a little bit higher end.
Correct. So they looked at it, Houston looked at it and said, we're taking him to the next level. Because really, Bill Belichick
is already at the next level.
The EVP slash GM.
Yeah.
And yet, there's language in his contract that I'm sure New England brought out to the league and said, wait a minute, we've got language that basically says that he does the same thing. We might have different titles. Bill likes different titles. Bill's into different types of titles. But from an executive standpoint, he's doing the exact same thing. And that's what they showed. And they said, you can't do it. But I want to get back to Nick Caserio. This would never get to this point unless Nick wanted to go to Houston. Because Nick could have simply said, once they brought it up and asked for permission, you go to Kraft and Belichick and go to Nick and say, Nick, do you have any desire to go to Houston? If Nick says no, right, it's done. Nothing happens.
Yeah,
Nick
so
had to say yes. Now, one of two things. Either Nick really had desire on going to Houston and working with Billy O'Brien, or Nick was using it as a leverage play
to get more money out of the New England Patriots. But if there were clauses in his contract that prevented him from going anyways, or it would be at a higher cost to the Texans, then it wouldn't matter whether he wanted to go or not. It would make no difference because he knows that anybody who wants to hire him for a better position, more power, that whole thing, is going to have to pay through the nose. Because that would be the only way the Patriots could protect themselves, and they would have to be compensated.
So he's back to work for the New England Patriots, and he shows up.
And that's it. End of story.
End of story. And
wow, buzz,
but
kill.
But you still have to deal with, is going to be a little bit of tension? I mean, I would.
If he wanted to leave, well, here's the other thing. He really shouldn't have any cause to be irritated because the Texans wanted him, but they didn't want him bad enough. So your issue isn't really with the Patriots anymore; it's with the Texans.
Good point.
They weren't willing to step up and pay the price.
So that soap opera is done.
That is done.
So Bill's down to two jobs now. He doesn't have three. Yes. He's down to two. He's head coach and he's defensive coordinator. He doesn't have to worry about this GM position anymore.
That soap opera is what we like to call in the radio business, Dunsky.
Our OMF on WEEI account today, a serious question. Do you think the Celtics are better off without Kyrie Irving? What do you think, one, yeses or noes?
I think that most people said yes, they're better off without him.
They did.
Of course.
55% said
it's
yes.
It's up to 57 now.
57% said yes. 43% said no.
There's some good percentages.
What are we out of our mind here? Ooh. What are we, crazy? I know that Kyrie's a pain in the ass, and I know he drives everybody crazy, and he says stupid, idiotic things, and now they're going to hear it in Brooklyn. But come on, as a player, a talent, you'd rather have him as opposed to what you're left with.
So I got a lot of suggestions for burger places Father's Day.
Good.
And I
other
just
than
found
McDonald's.
The Boston Burger Company has a Big Poppy Burger. I may get that in honor of Big Poppy.
That'd be a nice thing.
And I'm going to have a moment of silence.
Big Pappy over here.
It'd be a good thing to do. We got
I'm going to eat this in your marriage. It's so good. I want to enjoy it, but I'm so sad.
That's amazing. Crying out in Seattle for the St. Louis Blues winning. What dopes. We got last calls coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Where's it gonna f***ing end?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
And it's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup, 877-CARS. That's with a K, for the number kids, or at carsforkids.com. That's a nice little cute little story. This is Wilson Ramos.
We love those types of stories.
Yeah, the New York Mets.
Safe to say that tonight was probably one of the more interesting games Wilson Ramos has ever played. In the fourth inning, when he was standing in the on-deck circle getting ready for his second at-bat, his wife, Yelly, came down with a sign that told him that she was pregnant with their third child. Apparently, I spoke with Yelly. He didn't really register at first, then looked back around because his daughter shouted, "Dad, you're going to be a father again. We're going to have a third child." He proceeded to strike out looking in that at-bat, but who can blame him?
Isn't that a cute little
That's
story?
Not right. That's not right. It's you shouldn't be doing story. That. You
Why not?
Be, I mean, that's not the time or the place to do that.
Well, you know what?
His very livelihood depends on his ability to hit a baseball. And not that I want to pee all over, you know, your good feel-good story, but still.
He proceeded to strike out looking in that at-bat, but who can blame him?
You think he was focused on his job?
Here's what would have been worse. If his girlfriend came down with that sign and his wife was sitting in a box seat
That's
next
a good
to
point.
The dugout.
That Then I can then I understand
that would have been a bad moment.
Not being focused, yeah. You know, maybe preoccupied.
He was
with
sitting
the situation.
There doing math in his head, like, all right, what do I got to bat in order to put three kids through college? How many RBIs?
No, what he was doing was
extension.
No, what he was doing was the math in his head. Okay, the last time was hand. It takes 9 months. Okay, where was I? Okay, no, it's not true. It's not mine. That's what he was doing.
I can't stay
right.
I can't stay focused on today's show. This Rex Chapman tweet with the video with this guy is the funniest thing I think I've ever seen.
And hold on. I just tweeted it out.
So go to my at Glenn D. Ordway or Christian Fourier. Yeah. He's out there. We just tweeted it out. Rex Chapman comes up with these videos. He gets them from all over the world. Former basketball player. This one is absolutely hysterical. All I'll tell you is it's a guy taking an outdoor shower.
Like at a beach, it looks like. A beach or a gym.
Yeah, and he's shampooing his hair, which you normally do when you come out of the ocean. But the shampoo never ends. It's like a
So it's an outdoor shower, and there's stairs right behind it. And his buddy, obviously, is every time he rinses the shampoo out of his hair, or while he's rinsing it out, his buddy squeezes more shampoo on top.
Up above it,
it happens at least five times.
So he shuts the water off, and he's like, why do I still have soap on me? By the second or the third time, he starts, like, I mean, he's a beefy guy. So he starts getting really angry and punching.
Oh, he's wearing like tidy whities. I will say this.
Looks like
I've known you a long time now.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen you laugh.
I'm still laughing
as
at
hard
it.
As I did. Because it just gets better and better. I know this is a visual bit we're talking about. Do yourself a favor.
Go
online, go to Twitter.
OMF at WEEI.
Go to OMF at WEEI. And I guarantee you, if you're feeling down, depressed, whatever, this will crack you up.
You'll piss your pants if you're driving and you're looking at this thing.
You
shouldn't be doing that, right? You shouldn't be looking at the screen while you're driving. I apologize for saying that.
But pull over and look at it.
Hey, we had the plant guy earlier, right up in Toronto.
The
big story, of course, and it's all been resolved. If you missed it, Adam Schefter has got the story. Texans are dropping their pursuit of Nick Caserio. Everything is fine now. Nick Caserio's staying with the Patriots and whatever. So how about the Texans superfan? It's Texans Bill. And Texans Bill is giving us, he's like you. He's
he
an
is.
Insider,
oh.
And he's giving us the inside story on the attempt to get Nick Caserio to Houston.
Texans Bill here. So now look, yes, we are all talking about the news that come out the Patriots are they've filed tamponing charges against the Texans because they saying that new Texans minister of the Latter-day Saints or whatever he is, Jack Easterby, gone up to that ring celebration and tried to recruit old Nick Caserio down to the Texans GM job. Now, I mean, look, It is a little suspicious that the next day the Texans are firing Brian Gain, and the next day the Texans are requesting permission to interview Kasaria. Yeah, that seems a little suspicious. But how do you know that Easterby even approached Kasaria and said, hey, listen, we want to hire you as GM? What if Kasaria come up to Easterby and is like, dude, I would love to be y'all's GM. You know, I'm cool with Bill and you and all. And Easterby's like, nah, dude, we ain't talking about it. Or hell, it didn't even have to be about the GM job. What if Kasaria went up to Easterby and goes, look, man, we would really,
this guy's got the plan
really
laid out,
like
here.
To hire this. Bill O'Brien. We'd like to hire Bill O'Brien. I'm just kidding. They wouldn't do that. But what if they would? What if that's what he was doing? How do you know who tamponed who is what I'm getting at? Who tamponed who?
Who tamponed who?
I love him.
I love this guy.
I mean, you're not going to find a guy more passionate.
By the way, there's more information on this story. You ready
listen.
For this? From Adam Schefter with a blue check mark. Our buddy Adam Schefter, your teacher, your mentor.
My mentor.
Right now. With Houston dropping its pursuit of Nick Caserio.
The
tampon charges. There now is a scenario under which the Texans will go this season without an office general manager. Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby, and the scouting department could divvy up the duties. Jack Easterby has gone from the Patriots chaplain slash character coach to a guy now who's a basic pseudo general manager running the Houston Texans operation. Talk about a freaking
God
promotion.
Is an awesome guy.
Who? Tampon? Who?
Yeah, is that what we're doing? So maybe they say, screw it. Okay, we only have about 7 months or so. We'll get through this year. And then we'll go after Nick again.
Unbelievable. Jack Easterby. All right, that's going to do it for us. Have a happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We're going to be back Monday at 2 o'clock. Lou will be back with us.
I don't know. Sure he's a diva now. Sure he just takes off days whenever he feels like it.
He's working double shifts now, double jobs.
You will see me at a burger joint nearby. I'm not sure where, but be looking out for me. I'm coming.
All right. Have a great one, everybody. Yep, we're out of here. See you, boys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.